This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And good morning. It is a Monday. Got two things we got to get to right away. We got the U.S. Open from Pebble Beach as Gary Woodland wins the major, his first. But Brooks Koepka making a little bit of a charge and kind of making another run at another U.S. Open was kind of the talk before Woodland was able to just kind of close it out, win by three. But Koepka emerging as a star. We'll get to that. But the big trade over the weekend is Anthony Davis is now going to go to L.A. for a bucket of players and draft picks as the Pelicans got better and the Lakers got better. This is the one thing that these franchises like the Lakers, like the Celtics, like the Yankees. Like, I mean, you can look at these franchises that are sort of iconic, the Cowboys, for example. They don't want to stay down for very long, right? They don't want to disappear for a long period of time. They'll fight their way back into relevancy. And the Lakers last won a championship in 2010. And since then, right, the whole Eastern, the finals had been LeBron James and then Golden State, and the Lakers sort of disappeared. And now the Lakers get Anthony Davis, and all of a sudden, with LeBron James, they become an attractive place to go, another place that free agents are going to look at as a chance to win a championship by pairing up with those two guys. And that changes now the dynamic of the Western Conference. But it just goes to show you again, look, the Lakers are an organization that went, okay, look, we have LeBron James. We're not going to waste LeBron James. We got to go do something. But they're the Lakers. Even without LeBron James, they're an organization that doesn't like to be down for very long. And it's so different than other franchises when you look at how they can get success and then they can disappear and never get that success again. And the Lakers are an organization that, again, if you look at the history, they win championships, then they disappear for a little bit, and then they come back and win championships and they disappear. And now they are an attractive place to go as we head into free agency in the next couple of weeks. We'll break down this trade, what it means for the Pelicans, also what it means for the Lakers, the LeBron factor, and what it also means for the Western Conference. That's all coming up. It is a Monday morning. It is SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Good morning as we kickstart the week, and what a weekend. News Saturday, Anthony Davis is going to the Lakers. All right, Ron, the Lakers are good again. Didn't take long. LeBron James got him going. He's got his second superstar.
We're not done yet, though.
Not done yet.
Not done yet. Still got enough cap space for another max player. Hello, Kawhi.
Isn't this amazing? This worked out well for both teams. But wasn't this, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't this pretty much the deal that was rumored, except for Kyle Kuzma, that was rumored at the trade deadline that everybody freaked out over?
I think what the tipping point is now is the Lakers have the third pick. The third pick. Isn't the third or fourth?
Fourth.
Fourth pick.
Right. And so
I think that was the point.
They can, because the Pelicans made it clear they wanted the Pelicans. This was very bold because the Pelicans again could have kept Anthony Davis for another year and said
the weird thing, right? Because right before even the trade was announced, there was rumors coming out that Anthony Davis was going to play out his final contract, final year contract,
right?
So it was just, you heard that and you're like, well, he's not going anywhere. Let's focus on Kyrie. Let's focus on Durant now.
And the Pelicans could have made a bold move here. They could have said, look, We got the number one pick in the draft, and we're going to take Zion Williamson. All right? And we're going to see. They could have done basically what Masai Ujiri did, not necessarily pursued a championship, but they could have said, Anthony Davis, we're going to get 1 year, and you're going to play with Zion Williamson. And our hope is that you like playing with Zion Williamson, and the new management starts putting pieces together around you two that makes it attractive enough for you to want to stay. But they must have felt like that it ain't ever going to happen. He's never going to stay here. He's done here. That's all, folks. And so they went out and boldly said, all right, if you want Anthony Davis, here's what we want in return. We want an all-star player. We want a young player with potential to be an all-star. And we want draft picks, good draft picks. Right? This was a pretty bold move. I mean, this was like, okay. And then some players, you know, teams had to go reach around to see if they figured they could have it. Going, all right, do we have the picks? Do we have the player? Do we, if we're going to make a play for Anthony Davis, here are the things that we got to come up with. Right? So the Lakers send three players. They send Lonzo Ball, send Josh Hart, and they send Brandon Ingram to the Pelicans. They also send their fourth round pick this year and then some conditional picks for 2021 and 2022.
Way too confusing to understand what picks
they send. I always just go, listen, I'm not even going to get into it. When we get to that year, we'll figure it out. Yeah. But basically what the Pelicans are getting right now today that affects them right now is the three Laker players and the fourth round pick in the draft combined with the number one overall pick with Zion. So this is one of those trades that works great for both sides. Now, most trades are supposed to work well for both, you know, but a lot of times you know, there are winners and losers in trades. Some teams are forced to do a trade and they take a little bit less than they're supposed to. Sometimes you get more than what you bargain for than what you want. In this case, it works great for both. The Pelicans are going to have a good core with Zion Williamson. They're going to be fun to watch. And the Lakers are building their superstar tandem team with another player coming on board to help them win a championship. And everybody in the Western Conference now has another team to deal with. Because New Orleans with Anthony Davis was not a team he had to worry about, but Los Angeles with Anthony Davis and LeBron James is now a team you have to worry about. So it's another team in the Western Conference that you could start pegging into to see how the flow of that conference is going. But it works out best. It works great for both. And the Lakers now are back in play. It took a year, but they're back in play. And it's not as surprising, but when it was kind of finalized, you're like, wow, well, there you go. That great for the Lakers.
And in a way, again, maybe this is the Lakers' new way of doing things. It's not an afterthought, but it almost feels like an afterthought. Just much as when the Lakers signed LeBron.
Yeah, very much so, right.
Just, you know, inconspicuously done on a Saturday afternoon, dead smack in the middle of the day when most people are away from their phones or away from TVs or anything like that. It was just all of a sudden just flashed across like, oh, you know, they signed Anthony Davis.
Yep. And that was the whole thing, right? Right. Because we knew that there were only a few teams that were really going to be in play for this. And the Celtics, they didn't want to give up Jason Tatum. And Anthony Davis wasn't staying after a year anyway. This is where he wanted to go. The Lakers knew that. So the Lakers were willing to go a little more and to process a deal that made the Pelicans happy to land Anthony Davis. And I'm sure LeBron is like, get that done. Good night. Call me when it's ready. Cause I want this done. Cause LeBron knows how to win a championship. He knows what he's going to need if he wants to pursue a championship in LA.
And all of a sudden what this does, we can't wait for the NBA season to start now.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
I mean, it just finished, and we're already excited. We're already looking for October, mid-October to come up now.
I mean, this is really great. I mean, this is – and also, too, and a number of people have started to point this out on Twitter and social media, which is I think I agree with, is, okay, so the Lakers obviously are a team now that you're interested in watching, but the Pelicans are – If you get the league pass, the Pelicans are a team you could watch on a Tuesday night if you have league pass out of market because they should be that fun and entertaining. This is a good deal for both teams. This is interesting, right? And look, you know who really, really is getting kind of screwed over by this deal in the Western Conference? The Denver Nuggets. Because this whole, we don't need a super, superstar paired with other superstars to win, that might disappear quickly. I mean, I give all the credit in the world to what the Nuggets did last year, and Jokic is emerging as a superstar in the league. But you throw in the fact that the Lakers are good now, and all of a sudden, now the Golden State Warriors should take two steps backwards to this West. But I mean, my goodness, this is a Western Conference now that it's like Yahtzee dice, man. Put a bunch of teams in there and roll it and see what happens. I mean, now you've got the Lakers in this mix. You got the Pelicans. Now the Pelicans should be a couple of years away from being pretty good, but still, I mean, this Western Conference is going to be a blast.
Well, to me, what the Pelicans are—they're kind of like the Cleveland Browns, right?
Yeah,
now.
Right.
I mean, the Cleveland Browns last year had the first and fourth pick, and I mean, you're looking at the Pelicans now—they got the first and fourth pick. You're going to get two really outstanding players at 1 and 4 in this draft.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
Next year, you know, we can't expect too much from them next year. Because these guys are young and they're going to need to, you know, find their NBA legs. But give it, you know, 2-3 years down the road, this is going to be a fun team to watch.
It really is. It really is going to be a fun team to watch. And hats off to the Lakers. Rob Pelinka pulling this off.
Hey, even Magic congratulated him.
I did. I saw that. Even Magic congratulated him. That's great. That's great. I wonder if Magic wants his old job back now. Oh, shoot.
Probably.
Did I leave this mess? You know, I leave this walking disaster?
I'm surprised he hasn't came out and said, you know, that Anthony Davis deal, that's all because of me.
Yeah, I was the one that put that together.
I started
it. I was
the
one that did that. I'm like, Jeannie, I'm sorry. Did I quit? I didn't mean to quit. Because this is going to be fun now. I mean, look at this offseason with the Lakers. If they add, you know, whoever they add, Kawhi, Kyrie, if he wants to go back to LeBron, whatever it is, whoever he lands, Lakers are a championship caliber team.
Yep.
I mean, and so whether they win it or not remains to be seen, but they are one of the top teams to play around with now in the Western Conference.
Yeah, just one more player. I mean, and they were able to keep Kuzma.
Oh, yeah, and keep Kuzma. That was incredible.
That's a coup right there.
That's a coup right there. Well played. Well done. And think about it. With the Golden State Warriors, with Durant, listen, I know Durant was going to be on his way out, but, you know, Clay and Durant's injuries, the Western Conference now shakes up really different now. It doesn't, it's more open, and now here are the Lakers going, we're back. You know, we're back, and mm-hmm. You missed us, but now we're back. So, all right, we'll get into the Western Conference, how it looks, how it shapes up, and we'll go through it a few teams, but we'll talk about Gary Woodland winning the U.S. Open. I don't think Gary Woodland is as much as the story as Brooks Koepka was actually trying to make a run towards another championship. But I'll tell you who the real story was from the U.S. Open. That's next. SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, doing a repair that needs a special tool? O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so they're sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool. Return the tool in the original condition. Receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. We'll get more into the Lakers trade for Anthony Davis, what this means for the Lakers, what this means for the Pelicans. Oh, boy, it's all good. And the Western Conference, as some teams are probably really, really worried now where they stand in that conference. I want to get to the U.S. Open. Gary Woodland won the Open, and I don't know who Gary Woodland is. I don't. I'm sorry. I'm sure he's a fine young man. He's 30-something years old from Kansas. But I follow golf. I like to think I follow golf, and I didn't know who he was. And so all week, I'm trying to read up on him and find out a little bit more about him, and he wins the U.S. Open. Good for him. He's now a major champion. Now, does he become like Michael Campbell, who won at Pinehurst in 2005, and I've never heard from him again? Does he become like Lucas Glover, who won the U.S. Open? I don't know. Does he become like Brooks Koepka? A couple of years ago at Erin Hills, Brooks Koepka, who was relatively unknown, won the U.S. Open, and all of a sudden now, number one player in the world, and get this, like a major star in the sense that I was watching the final round going, I kind of hope Brooks Koepka pulls this off. like, no offense to Gary Woodland. I mean, fine, again, fine young man, fine golfer. But I was kind of hoping I could see a little history, a little three-peat by Brooks Koepka. And he made some birdies early, but Woodland held on. Listen, the star of the Open, though, okay, and again, not to take anything away from Woodland's championship and the way he played, which is a three-shot win, but I thought the star of the U.S. Open was Pebble Beach and the USGA. They did a great job on this golf course. 13 under is not where they want the U.S. Open to be. Okay, they don't want the U.S. Open to be won at 13 under, and they don't want the second place to be 10 under. Now, remember, Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open in 2000 in Pebble Beach, finishing at 12 under, but second place was plus three. So he had won by 15 shots. Woodland won by three shots over Koepka at minus 10, and then there were four golfers tied for third at minus seven. Okay, the USGA, this is not how they want the U.S. Open. However, they were in an interesting situation. I don't want to say bad or tricky or anything like that. It was just interesting because they were playing at one of the most iconic golf courses in the world, and they could have ruined it and ruined the experience of it by making that golf course too hard. Pebble Beach has a lot of just natural hazards, natural ways that that golf course will bite you. It can be really windy. There is water. You're playing near the ocean, for crying out loud. All right, you're playing on some rough. The greens are really tiny. There are plenty of ways to make bogey on that golf course if Mother Nature comes into play. Mother Nature just didn't come into play this week. And so, therefore, the USGA could have said, oh, we don't like this. Let's trick it up a little bit. Let's not. They didn't do any of that. They just said, you know what? This week, we're going to let the golf course be the star. We're going to let the golf course dictate to us where par is. Because in reality, par is just relative anyway. I mean, you don't even need, really. I mean, par is just the way we view these guys, right? Par is just the way we judge these guys. And that's how, or your golf game, or my golf game, or Ron's golf game, or any golf game. The par just exists for that reason. In golf, you could just put up the total amount of strokes it takes over 4 days. And just say, oh, he did this in 280, or he did this in 278, or he did this in 279, or he did this in 281, and go from there. And that would be the score. But we like a barometer, and that's what par is. But the USGA takes par sometimes and goes, well, that's where we got to be. And if they had done this to Pebble Beach, I'm telling you, I told you about a week or two ago before the U.S. Open started that there was rumblings of a boycott among some of the top players who anonymously were saying to Golf Digest, Golf World, a couple of magazines, that they were sick and tired of the USGA. Because the USGA runs one tournament for them a year. And that's the U.S. Open. Now, they run the Junior Amateur, the U.S. Amateur, the Women's U.S. Amateur, all of those other ones. But for a top-level player like a Rory McIlroy, they play in one USGA event every year, and that's the U.S. Open. And they hate it because it is thick, rough, narrow fairways, tricky greens. They burn them out. It's not only par, it's this obsession with embarrassing the world's top players. Now, you know, sometimes I listen to them and I go, cry me a river. One week you get to play tough golf. But their point was, look, there was also a lot of incidences where the USGA really dropped the ball when it came to dealing with professional golfers. You want to do stuff for the amateur? Do that, fine. You want to do that for the mid-amateur? You want to do that for the seniors? Fine. But the top-level players in the world, we do not, for example, play the rest of the round not knowing if we have a penalty on us like Dustin Johnson did. Or bake out the greens and put them in awful pin placements like we saw Phil Mickelson last year at Shinnecock make a little protest move putting a ball that was moving. These were things that they were saying to the USGA, we're sick of it. And this U.S. Open was perfect. The players loved the golf course. The golf course was receptive to great shots. It did penalize the bad ones, but not in a way that made you make an eight. All right? And that's what these players wanted. It was a fair test. You could, if you were having a bad round or you just didn't find your swing, the golf course bit you. If you played well, the golf course rewarded you. And that's what they want in the USGA. It doesn't mean we go to these, you know, wing foot next year and we shoot 14 under par, but it means that sometimes you have to take a step back and let the golf course do what it does. So congratulations to Gary Woodland. I don't know what kind of major champion he's going to be. I hope it's more, you know, he wins more of these, because all I've read, he's a very, very likable person. Popular on tour, no controversies, just seems like an all-around good guy. I hope he just doesn't disappear as some major champions tend to do, right? However, I think the star this week was the fact that Pebble Beach proved once again what an iconic golf course it is and how fantastic it is to play and watch. But Brooks Koepka, I'm telling you, 2 years ago, I had no idea who Brooks Koepka was. Now I'm rooting for him to make a real run at the U.S. Open last night, because I kind of wanted to see if he would pull this off.
Woodland was too much of a nobody. I was feeling the same way yesterday watching Koepka, and it almost feels like we should not like him.
Right.
Like, I get this weird feeling like, oh, he's, because it's like the anti-Tiger. He's the one who's going to keep Tiger from winning, from catching Jack. But again, yesterday I was like, you know what? Koepka, do your thing, man. This is fantastic. And he was.
Yeah, he was making some birdies early.
And that course.
Yeah, and then he started slowing down, but I was kind of bummed because any minute now I thought, oh, he's gonna make some birdies, and he just didn't pop up. But like I said before, I didn't know who Koepka was a couple of years ago, and now he's becoming a megastar. But this is the other thing, and I've noticed this now when we talk about Tiger, it's unfortunate, because after the Masters, you know, we thought Tiger was going to start popping back up again. And now Tiger is, you know, he's playing well, but not quite well enough. But one of the things I noticed in like the opening round, both Brooks Koepka at the PGA and then Justin Rose at the US Open in the opening, none of these guys are worried about playing with Tiger. Like, Tiger doesn't put the fear into them. These guys shot great rounds playing with Tiger.
It's kind of sad.
It's like, yeah, Tiger. It is. It is. By the way, did you see Jordan Spieth yelling at his caddy this week? This is hilarious. I love Spieth, but my God,
his fault.
I know, right? Because he goes, two perfect shots. You have me in the water and then over the green. I love it. Jordan Spieth does the wee thing with the caddy a lot, which I just find annoying. Because on the one hand, you're like, no, I got a team, right? This is my team. The caddy's on my team. My psychiatrist is on my team. My swing coach is part of my team. You know, I'm going to gather with my team. But golf is an individual sport, and you pull the trigger, right? And the caddy will tell you, hey, this is the distance. I think it's a 7-iron, et cetera, et cetera. But in the end, you pull the trigger. So has Spieth ever said, after he's hit it to like 3 inches, great shot, Michael. Well done, Michael. You hit that well, Michael. No, he hit the ball, right? But as soon as he gets it over the green, he looks at his caddy and he's like, didn't do good there. Had a perfect shot, but you put me in the water, put me over the green. Caddy should have said, I didn't do anything. I just gave you advice. It's your fault for taking it. Spieth has this about him, which there's a the appeal to it, and then there is people kind of get a little like it's a little country club bratish because he's still very young. But I don't know. I like the microphones on the golf course. I picked up some pretty cool stuff. That was pretty good. Fox is getting a lot better with his broadcast of golf. When they first started, it was terrible.
Yeah, but you know, it still felt like Joe Buck was covering a baseball game or a football game.
Yeah, Buck is not that good.
Too much excitement for Pebble Beach for a golf tournament. It was like, tone it down a bit, man.
Shane Bacon is really good. Bacon knows golf. Like, he really knows the game. So he's really good. Listen, Buck, you can't do everything well in this business, okay? Like, this is a strange business we're in, the sports broadcasting. You can't do everything perfect. Buck is fine play-by-play announcer in baseball. He's great at football. I know some people don't like him, but he is really good at that. He knows the game. He knows the players. He knows how to build excitement. He knows how to deliver that. Golf is just a different beast. It's just a different it's a different excitement. And I just don't think it's his game. But Shane Bacon is really good. All right, coming up, more on the Laker trade.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, I guess we could say, Ron, that we have a Father's Day analysis of the Lakers-Pelicans trade.
Oh, certainly.
From over the weekend. Before we get to that, let's talk some travel. Most of us do a little travel throughout the year. How you booking your hotel rooms? Well, I got a suggestion, besthotelrates.com. They have negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide, extended these discounts to you. You go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel, voila, you're looking at a discounted rate from any of the hotels that you could pay more for somewhere else. Save your money. Book your hotels through besthotelrates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation so your stay is safe and secure. Besthotelrates.com. Start planning your trip today. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com. All right, so Lakers and Pelicans trade. Anthony Davis for three players, three draft picks. Pelicans get better in a way because they got something for Anthony Davis. The Lakers, of course, got their second superstar next to LeBron James. But one of those players that is going to New Orleans is Lonzo Ball. So, of course, there's LeVar Ball. So here's what LeVar Ball had to say about his son leaving La La Land for the Big Easy.
Like I said, I guarantee, like I say again, it'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they'll never win another championship. Guaranteed.
They're going to regret this, right?
They're going to regret it. I'm going to have fun with it. Because I told y'all it was crashing down. Now it completely crashed, but at least my son got off the boat before the thing exploded. I gave him a chance. You can rewind it and go back. And I said, if you get the three Ball brothers, you're going to survive this. You let them go, boy, it's going to be a cold day in hell. I don't care where Lonzo plays. You know, like I said about it, I just want to be healthy. I want him to play. And it's better to go somewhere where you can just play and do your thing and be that guy instead of having all these question marks behind you. And once you don't believe in him, it's kind of hard to come back and be like, oh, we believe in him now because now we don't know if you're true or not. You had the first chance to believe in him, and you didn't. So guess what? Time to go.
Happy Father's Day, LeVar. I like when he says it because I don't care where Lonzo plays. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Well, there's a video. I think it was taken either shortly before this one or after this video where they got soundbite. But it's just him standing on a court, and you could see just how upset he is.
He had this all planned out.
Oh, of course he did.
He had this all planned out. He had Lonzo Ball getting drafted with the second pick in the draft to the Lakers, and he was going to be the piece that brings the Lakers a championship. He was going to be the centerpiece of the Lakers winning a championship.
The rafters.
That's right.
Up there with Wilt and Shaq and Elgin Baylor and so on and so on.
And cracks in that plan started to occur the moment LeBron James signed. There were cracks in that plan. Because now, oh, here comes LeBron. All of a sudden, it's not going to be Lonzo that is the centerpiece.
Not
now
Lonzo's
it's LeBron.
Team anymore.
Not Lonzo's team.
If it ever was.
Yeah. So now there were cracks in that story, in that belief, in that plan. And now he's gone off to New Orleans. And so here's what LeVar does. He does his thing where now you are terrible. You're never going to. Anthony Davis, LeBron James team is never going to win a championship. Well, maybe they never win a championship. Who knows? I mean, you never know. But he says he didn't just say they may never win a championship. He said he's glad Lonzo got off because it's falling apart. Well, again, I can't guarantee the Lakers are going to win a title. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But it's not falling apart. This is the team you're going to want to be a part of. This is the building blocks of something you want to be a part of if you're the Lakers. But to LeVar, it's like the fox and the grapes, right? He can't reach the grapes, so the grapes must be sour anyway. His kid is not going to be part of this new Laker run. Well, it's terrible, it's stupid, and the Lakers aren't going to win anyway. And it's all falling apart. It's a sinking ship, and he's glad his son's off the sinking ship. No, he's devastated. The plan wasn't Lonzo get in the NBA and let's see what happens. The plan was, do you remember how big of a deal he made it out to be when
Lonzo was drafted by the Lakers. Remember, he kept saying he was going to will this into existence. He needed the Lakers to have like the number two pick in the draft in order to do that. Lonzo coming out of UCLA was going to be a top five pick, if not a top three pick, by anybody picking. And he needed the Lakers to have a top pick. He needed the Lakers to be in a position to do that. He said he thinks Lonzo was going to go to the Lakers. He wanted Lonzo to go to the Lakers. He did. And now that is cracked. It's done. It's over. And now he's going to be off to New Orleans. It's great.
Yeah, and don't forget that the other two are supposed to go to the Lakers as well.
That's right.
You're supposed to have all three ball boys on the Lakers, and that's what was going to bring you a champion.
LeBron's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. See you later. Isn't the other one, isn't one of them can't even play in the NBA?
Yeah, like, that's the second one.
The second one where the scouts went,
I can't keep
the younger one's pretty good though, right?
Yeah, but I can't keep my ball boys straight. Is that no, LiAngelo? I'm with you.
LiAngelo, LaMelo.
I think LaMelo's the youngest. The youngest. LiAngelo was the one who got popped in China.
That's right. God, I could listen. The only reason I care about the balls is if they're actually in the draft or actually making news in college basketball.
LeVar. Or both of them scoring 50 points a night in Lithuania.
That's right. I do like LeVar's antics, though. I do appreciate him. I do, because you know what? You got to give credit to him. He believes in his kids, and that's all you can ask for as a dad. But my goodness.
Stay in your lane.
That's right, LeVar. You got it. I will. Stay in your lane.
So does this mean that we're not really going to see much of the balls anymore?
Yeah, I don't think so. By the way, whatever happened to Big Baller Brand Shoe? I haven't followed that story in a very long time. God, that shoe still kicking around?
$500 for a shoe.
Yeah, remember that one?
A new business.
Yeah, remember that? Remember they launched it and like 100 people bought it or something like that? He was like, oh, no, it's a success. I'm like, what's a collector's item? What are you talking about?
They had the pop-up shops happening.
That's right, yeah, pop-up shops. Yeah, remember this? I remember one guy bought it, and he was like in one of the papers. Like, he was from New York or something, and he was like in USA Today or something. And he said simply, he goes, I have no interest in the shoe. I just collect them. I collect shoes. And so I thought I'd throw it in my collection. Like, that's what it's becoming, right? it's become, like, people just want it to say. There was one time this crazy lunatic who started his own apparel company, and he was charging $600 for shoes.
Yep, selling t-shirts at, like, $50
yep.
each.
Yep, exactly. And so I bought one because I had a little extra money to spend, and I didn't really know what to do with it, and I thought it would be kind of cool to have a pair. So here they are. Big Baller Brand shoes. Oh, my goodness. Now, listen, I think this is going to be fine for Lonzo. Like, if Lonzo could separate from the ball craziness, like, he would probably go, no, you know what? This is probably a pretty good opportunity. Young talent, young team, two other guys that I'm used to, two other guys I've played with. We got a young player in Zion Williams, and this could be really fun. Yeah, I think this.
The funny thing was that Lonzo, God, I'm mixing them all up. Lonzo isn't even projected to start.
Yeah, I know.
For the Pelicans.
That's the other problem. Yeah.
So, this whole mantra is like, he's going to lead them to an NBA championship. Even with the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers, the first year, I think he started. But then even last year, he didn't start.
No, he's starting up. Yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, listen, when he plays well, he's a very good player. But the whole idea behind him taking the, like, putting him, he was going to be the centerpiece of the Lakers. That never made real sense.
No, in fact,
I never thought it was
LeVar's
even when he was drafted
star.
Second.
LeVar's the biggest star of the whole ball family.
That's exactly right. So, but again, with the Lakers, you got to give them credit for this. I mean, listen, remember you and I were having that conversation a while back about like the Clippers. If the Clippers ever got good, could they take over a younger generation?
Yeah.
This is the main reason they can't, because the Lakers just don't disappear for long enough to have the Clippers, even if the Clippers gain success at all. Like, if even the Clippers had a really good basketball team and made it deep in the Western Conference Finals or even played for an NBA championship, the Lakers just don't disappear for a very long period of time before they start emerging as a threat again. They go away for a little bit, then they come roaring back.
That's why I really do think the Clippers should move back to San Diego.
I do too.
And just
remember
because,
Terry Cummings. Remember he was on the San Diego Clippers. Man?
Yeah, but I mean that way they have their own town. They have their own fan base. I mean, still to this day, people go to the Clippers games because it's cheaper.
Well, that was the thing. That's the thing about Steve Ballmer, right? Because when Ballmer bought the team for $2 billion, I was blown away, first of all, that the Clippers were worth $2 billion. Because part of their appeal was, listen, you can get inexpensive season tickets. Donald Sterling, for all of his craziness and racism, he was a businessman that saw an opportunity to say, listen, I can fill my arena this way. The Lakers are going to fill their arena their way, right? They're going to win, and they're going to charge a lot of money, and there's going to be a long list of people in Los Angeles that have those means and will be able to take care to find money in their budget at that rate. But I'm going to go after a different kind of clientele that doesn't have those means, mm-hmm. but still wants to see all of these basketball teams and these basketball players that come to town. And that's a smart business plan to say, I'm not going to charge, you know, $200 a ticket. I don't have the team to charge $200 a ticket.
Basically, you're saying you're not going to compete with the Lakers.
Right. Exactly. So yeah. What I'll do is I'll go after a different clientele.
Yeah.
The NBA fan that can never buy a Laker ticket. Right. So that's his business model. That was his business model. And that's a smart business model in a city of 14 million people. Right.
Well, I will say this, that the Clippers have more true fans at their games than the Lakers do.
I agree with that. Yeah. I've never been there, but I've heard that. Yeah, sure.
Because for the Lakers, it's more about it's that L.A. thing. You know, you have to be seen there.
Right.
It's
exactly.
It's more important for you to say, yeah, I was at the Laker game last night than, you know, oh, let me tell you about the game last night.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's always been. The Clippers, you know, they do. They have actual fans, Clipper fans. There are some in L.A. It's, you know, I know it's amazing to think, but there are fans in L.A., and they actually go there to root for their team.
And this is why, like, League Pass, like NBA League Pass, is a popular add-on in your case. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get it because the NBA is such a star person league, right? It's not so much team. It's about you can just sit and watch Giannis play on a Wednesday night in January and be entertained, right? Or name your superstar. So yeah, it becomes like I used to say this with the Nuggets before Carmelo got there, and the Nuggets were just pathetic. But people would go anyway because, hey, look at the people that are coming in. These are good teams. These are good basketball players to go see. Go take your kid to go see, name your star that's coming into your town. But does Steve Ballmer want to do the Lakers, the Clippers business model that way? I mean, he's had the team now for a number of years, but does he eventually want what the Lakers have? Because that's going to be really, really hard to get unless he finds a way to say, yeah, adios, maybe I'll go somewhere else. Where I'm the only NBA team in town, and I might be able to get some of that high end dollar. Or does the value of his franchise sitting in Los Angeles being, you know, because just being in LA makes your franchise $2 billion. But that's an interesting point because you're right. I mean, Donald Sterling would have done that for generations and that kind of business plan. But Steve Ballmer, maybe after a while, he's like, nah, I want to see what I can turn this into. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. As we roll along on the big news of what the Lakers and the Pelicans did over the weekend, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Oh, by the way, how was your Father's Day? Did you get to relax on Sunday?
I did. I actually fell asleep at one point.
Oh,
that was amazing.
I love Father's Day.
I mean, it was raining here most of the time. We were supposed to have my son's baseball team. We were supposed to have dads versus the team.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
But we got rained out, so it's postponed until Wednesday. So right. Father's Day continues for us.
I saw this story about this kid, Chandler Eaton, at the U.S. Open. His dad caddied for him on Father's Day in the final round of the U.S. Open. That was kind of cool.
That's so cool.
Must be nice. Really cool. I wish I was a good enough golfer to give my dad that gift, but I was not a good enough golfer at a young age to give my dad the gift of caddy. My dad might not have caddied for me anyway. Might have been like,
maybe for a hole.
Yeah.
Maybe for a hole, right? You know, carry the bags for one hole.
So my dad going, how far is it, Dad? My dad would be like, I don't know.
I will say 110, this. I mean, you know,
115?
I totally agree with what you're saying. The USGA did a fantastic job with Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
But watching it on Sunday, there were many times where the course, just looking at the course, was more exciting than watching the players.
Yeah, hey, I agree.
Such a beautiful course, man.
Oh, it's great.
They don't go there that often. It feels like they don't go there enough, I should say. And so you don't get to see it as often as you would like. You know, the landscape shots that they do.
It's like I didn't realize where. Like, I was glad they do the Google Earth thing now where they show you, like, exactly where the golf course is on a map of the area. I didn't know where. Like, I knew Pebble Beach was in Northern California, but I couldn't find it. Like, I wouldn't know where it was. But when they showed it, like, when you see how there's just, like, this cove, like, how the land just wrapped, like, the ocean just, and then it kind of goes into this, like, cove. And now the land just makes this big, like, half circle. And then on that half circle, they've created this fantastic, beautiful golf course. That's just like they just use the earth and the way it just that is designed to create those holes that go down the ocean. It is remarkable. And they did a great job of showing it over the weekend.